The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to St. Luke, chapter 3, verses 7 to 18. Glory to you, O Lord. John said to the crowds that came out to be baptized by him, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruits worthy of repentance. Do not begin to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our ancestor.' For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham. Even now the axe is lying at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire." And the crowds asked him, "What then should we do?" In reply, he said to them, "Whoever has two coats must share with anyone who has none. And whoever has food must do likewise." Even tax collectors came to be baptized, and they asked him, "Teacher, what should we do?" He said to them, "Collect no more than the amount prescribed for you." Soldiers also asked him, "And we, what should we do?" He said to them, "Do not extort money from anyone by threats or false accusation, and be satisfied with your wages." As the people were filled with expectation, and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John, whether he might be the Messiah, John answered all of them by saying, "I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I is coming. I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his granary. But the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." So, with many other exhortations, he proclaimed the good news to the people. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Please be seated. Worship is the most elementary mark of being alive. Praise, singing, prayer, the primary forms of worship, are the most elementary marks of being alive. You want to live, you will want to find your way to worship, to inhabit its location, to learn its language, and to adopt its listening. Where we are, our location, shapes who we are, our recollection. Spaces, places, sounds, scents, taste, these directly affect, impact who we are. Location shapes recollection. For some weeks, off and on, I had been struggling without success to remember a name. I take it you will know the struggle. Off and on, and who knows the switches for either or both, I would conjure the memory of a person whom I had not seen in a decade or so. He was an impressive spirit, a tall African-American gentleman with a rich baritone voice. He would attend worship here now and then. His daughter in those years was an undergraduate at Boston University, and on occasion they would attend and sing together. He was a world-renowned vocalist and taught voice here at the university. For some reason, ever so often this fall, he came to mind, but not his name. I would reach out in recollection, but fall short and give up onto other things. He, my unnamed friend, was a generous, gracious soul with his talents, time, and treasure. He had founded a small school elsewhere to support recent immigrants. But what was his name? Then, last week, it happened. I found myself stopping in at our College of Fine Arts to bring a greeting to the new dean there and to drop off some extra postcards as invitations to our service of lessons and carols. Almost 1,000 of you attended the services, with tens of thousands more with us by radio and internet. You may remember the experience last week of praise, hymnody, choral beauty, prayer. It is the elementary mark of being alive. I left the cards and loped down the long staircase. At the turn in the stairs, I remembered his name. I hadn't been trying to remember, but the name came unbidden. Bidden or unbidden, God is with us. And a rush of gladness captured me in stairwell descent. His name, Simon Estes. The recollection of his name, due to the location of that day, a return to the building where I had called on him in his office now and then. The physical power of the physical location gave me the recollection I did not and could not gain elsewhere. To collect ourselves, we rely on recollection. You may return to read St. Augustine on this one day. Being in a particular space, say here, say now, is the difference so often between hearing and not hearing, knowing and not knowing, remembering and not remembering, breathing and not breathing, life and death. Zephaniah and Isaiah both call us this morning to the recollection of praise, of singing, of prayer, the elementary mark of being alive, worship. But here is the blunt Advent John the Baptist word. Your recollection depends on your location. To know the presence, you need to be present in church, somewhere. All of the unspoken allusions to God, before whom in prayer we remember ourselves, are conveyed in saving measure in location. Here we sing, preach, and pray in the same space, the same room, the same seats, the same sanctuary as did Howard Thurman right here. We admire him. We aspire to learn with him. We hope to acquire his, Howard Thurman's, faith, especially at Christmas when the song of the angels is stilled. Yet here is the John the Baptist challenge. You can't get very close to Howard Thurman without prayer. You can't get very close to Howard Thurman without song. You can't get very close to Howard Thurman without hymns, spirituals, meditation, candles, study, scripture, gathering, community, meaning, belonging, empowerment, preaching, praise, psalms, worship. You can't get very close to Howard Thurman without religion. You can't get very close to Howard Thurman without religion. Our gospel today goes deeper still, from location onto language. Worship is the most elementary mark of being alive, and this, praise, singing, prayer, the primary forms of worship, these are the elementary marks of being alive, and you want to be alive, so you will want to find your way to worship, to inhabit its location, to learn its language, and to adopt its listening. Not one of us can learn a language without labor, without attention and work. Think of your Latin conjugations and declensions. Think of your study of the periodic table of the kings and queens of England, of theorems and formulae. Worship has a language too, which bears practice, bears learning, bears knowing, bears discipline. Later last week, a friend and I were talking. For some inexplicable reason, I asked him to remember the theology he had studied in the School of Theology some years ago. He named a book from some years ago by George Lindbeck titled The Nature of Doctrine. Lindbeck was a Yale teacher and a good writer, too. Not that those two are at odds, by the way. Inspired so, I vainly hunted for my own dog-eared copy of years ago, hunting in the usual suspect places, four in number, to no avail, and retreating to get a library copy, then sitting in a different posture back in the office, suddenly spied my own book on the third shelf, there all the time after all. Anyway, Lindbeck produced a couple hundred pages of dense argument, easily summarized in this way. Faith comes from knowing the grammar of faith, the syntax of faith, the spelling of the nouns and the verbs of faith. Coming to faith is like learning Japanese or Koine Greek. In worship, we learn a new language. Yes, propositions, doctrine, and dogma are present and important. Lindbeck compliments the conservatives. Yes, experience and expression are important. Lindbeck compliments the liberals. But the real nature of doctrine is embedded in the lifelong struggle to learn your real mother tongue, the language of praise and singing and prayer and worship, the language of faith. To do so, you have to speak it, to sing it, to utter it, to name it, to lift it, or you won't know it and you won't have it. So, Lindbeck writing, just as an individual becomes human by learning a language, so he or she begins to become a new creature through hearing and interiorizing the language that speaks of Christ. The grammar of religion, like that of language, cannot be explicated or learned by analysis of experience, but only by practice. Language, the language of faith in worship, is crucial. Now, we, or at least I, might want to argue with Lindbeck as well, saying that though his emphasis benefits us, it benefits too from the other perspectives. Learning a language is meant to prepare one, after all, to speak the truth. And truth may come not just in grammar and syntax, but also in proposition, and especially in experience. And that truth may well require changes in inherited language, grammar, syntax, and spelling. Our gospel prepares us for Jesus this Advent Lord's Day, to know Jesus by knowing his people and his predecessor. Luke has greatly expanded on what Mark earlier taught about John the Baptist. Here, the Baptist lines out part of the language of faith. Be it readily remembered that real religion is never very far from justice. Be it readily remembered that real religion is never very far from justice. What says John the Baptist? Says he, turn your neighborly attention to equity, your legal tax work to fairness, your regimental armor to protection. All of these lines are about justice, economic justice. The Baptist could have been more economical himself, talking to neighbor and tax collector and soldier simply by saying this along the River Jordan in a word, tithe. Such a John the Baptist word, tithe, such an Advent word. If everyone tithed, we would need no charities, no taxes, and no armies. The language of faith would be the grammar, syntax, and spelling of the common hope. And it is the language the world most needs, and that which Jesus teaches from alphabet to sonnet. But here is the challenge, the very Advent, very John the Baptist challenge, a very timely one for us. You can't get very close to Jesus without prayer. You can't get very close to Jesus without song. You can't get very close to Jesus without hymns, spirituals, meditation, candles, study, scripture, gathering, community, meaning, belonging, empowerment, preaching, praise, psalms, worship. You can't get very close to Jesus without religion. Worship is the most elementary mark of being alive. Praise, singing, prayer, the primary forms of worship are the most elementary marks of being alive, and we want to be alive. So we will want to find our way to worship, to inhabit its location, to learn its language, and to adopt its listening. The gospel today takes us deeper still, down from the language and location of life into soul, into listening. Right now, you may not be drawn to Howard Thurman. Right now, you may not even be drawn to Jesus. But you have no choice about knowing yourself. And each and every sermon, we pray with care and omitting any surgical mistakes, cuts to the heart, cuts to the bone, cuts to the marrow. Worship is about being alive. It is the elementary mark of being alive. Death makes us mortal. Facing death makes us human. Death makes us mortal. Facing death, come worship, makes us human. And if we read the Bible, and if we worship in the church, if nothing else, then the utter God-forsakenness, the deathliness of death, is unmistakable if we will listen. Just a few days ago, I was sitting in the beautiful, relatively new atrium of our business school, no longer management, but business, by the way. I was waiting there reading a newspaper. After a while, a young man put down his various devices, eyed my name tag, and sat down next to me. We began to talk. Conversation is a grace. Conversation is a grace. prize your conversation. Now you have it. After a while, his name too was Robert, he admitted why he had sidled up to me. He said, I don't ever see anyone reading an actual newspaper anymore like you're doing. What is it like? Why do you do that? Well, I gave the usual reasons. I read online, but sometimes I like the fuller length of the articles. I like to be surprised by turning a page onto something unexpected rather than cyber-guided. I like the texture of the pages in my hand. It was not a debate or a matter of convincing. He was happily curious, and I was glad to be a curiosity. I invited him to lessons and carols. Here, then, today, or another, he might find a pastoral guide to listen to him. Here, he might find a friend in the pew to listen to him. Here he might find a kindred spirit to listen to him, someone who could befriend him even better than the newspaper-covered dean who listened to him that happy day. When Paul acclaims, rejoice, rejoice in the Lord always, again I say rejoice. Have no anxiety about anything, but in all things, in prayer and supplication, lift your needs to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. It is a question whether in the end there is any real rejoicing that is not always and utterly in the Lord. But what makes a lifetime of difference is whether there is someone there to listen when you sing, to listen when you pray, to listen when you worship, to listen to yourself, no, to listen to your own most self, to listen your soul into life. In worship, you put yourself in earshot of relationship, of acquaintance, of friendship, and of listening to the soul. But here is the Advent John the Baptist River Jordan challenge. You can't get very close to yourself without prayer. You can't get very close to yourself without song. You can't get very close to yourself without hymns, spirituals, meditation, candles, study, scripture, gathering, community, meaning, belonging, empowerment, preaching, praise, psalms. You can't get very close to yourself without worship. You can't get very close to yourself without religion. Worship is the most elementary mark of being alive, so wrote Jürgen Moltmann, quoting Gerhard von Rad. I find it potent to name not just one, but two German theologians to conclude. Praise, singing, prayer, the primary forms of worship, are the most elementary marks and parts of being alive. You want to live, and you will want to find your way to worship, to inhabit its location, to learn its language, and to adopt its listening. So come to church, come Sunday. So the Baptist preaches, I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I is coming. And he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire.